Good evening. And welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren this evening. I'm Pastor Dennis, and it's good to see you and some new faces here this evening, too. And welcome. It's good to have you with us this evening. We continue the series tomorrow evening one more time, and 7 o'clock, same time, same place. Tomorrow we'll be concluding session of our spiritual renewal week. Again, we welcome Brother Jim Bauer with us and sharing the messages, and we look forward to his message for us this evening. Our theme for the week is encouragement. I want to come into this worship time with some words of Jesus from John 10. Some of these I shared with us Sunday morning, but we'll hear them again this evening. From John 10, beginning with verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And to verse 7, Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And then 28 and 29, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Our opening song for the week, I will sing again this evening. Would you stand and sing together, Gentle Shepherd? Gentle Shepherd, we come to you again this evening because we need you to help us find our way. We turn to you this day and always for encouragement for each day, encouragement to face whatever the day brings in our lives. We thank you that in your word, in the assurance of your presence with us, in your Holy Spirit within us, we find that encouragement. Be with us this evening. Be with Brother Jim as he breaks your word to us this evening. We lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Look forward to some music from Cindy and Barb.
He left.
Cindy and Barb, keep us on the sunny side tonight. That's great. Yes. I want to invite the children to come up for some time together. See if I can sit down on this step this evening. Yes. Hi, Rain.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. And there's Isaiah and Abby and Lenny, right? A new friend this evening, Lenny. Very good. We've been talking about encouragement. And let's see. Last night we talked about a word that's included in that word encouragement, courage. We talked about courage. And I was thinking today about things that encourage me. And one of them, see up on the, can we get our picture up on the screen here? There we go. It's probably not showing up real well up there. That's better. I have it on my iPad here for you guys that are up close here. What do you see in that picture?
A rainbow.
A rainbow. Now, they probably can't see that on the screen, but if you look really carefully here, how many rainbows do you see? Where do you see that? Yep, there it is. A double rainbow. Two rainbows, right? Yes. Yeah, the rainbows. I get excited when I see rainbows like that. That was in our front yard this summer, looking out from our house, looking at our front yard. And that rainbows kind of encourage me, give me some good feelings inside, okay? Knowing that God is there. God is reminding us about his presence with us. There's a story in the Bible about a rainbow. Does anybody know what that story might be? A particular character in the Bible that you might have heard of in Sunday school. Ever hear the name Noah? What do you know about Noah, Abby? The big ark with all the animals, right? Yes, and the ark. Noah built the ark and filled it with animals and with his immediate family. The rain came down, the floods came up, as that children's song goes. Okay, and for 40 days it rained, and then it stopped, and gradually the rain went down, and finally got to the point where it was low enough that God said, "Okay, you can come out of the ark now." Okay? And so Noah and his family came out of the ark. And one of the things God did was he put a rainbow in the sky. Okay? And that rainbow, he said, the scripture says, the rainbow will be in the cloud, and I'll look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature. A covenant is like an agreement, okay, between God and people. And that's a promise, too, God's promise, that he will never make a flood again like that, okay? And so it was an encouragement to Noah and his family that God was with them. Okay, this is the sign, he says, of the covenant which I have established. So it was a sign, it was a promise, it was an encouragement to Noah. So when you see rainbows in the sky, think about that story of Noah and God's promise to be with us and to keep us in his love and his care, and that he is with you always. No matter what's going on in your life, God is there. Brother Jim, give a prayer here.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many different ways that you encourage us with rainbows, with hope, with your love, with your promises that you always keep. We thank you for these children. We ask your blessing upon them and their families, and just help them to know how much you love them and how much you keep your promises to them. Help us to encourage each other, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Okay, go back.
Good evening. I'll tell you what, you came back out tonight. Thank you so much for coming back. And tonight, my wife is with me. She's next to Kathy. 6 feet, right? Or is it 5 and a half? Seven. Okay. And we're having a mini college reunion, a Mansfield State College, at that time it was State College reunion. Dennis and Kathy and I were class of 1972, and then this youngster here, Margaret, was class of 1973. So it's great to have you here tonight, Margaret. Let's turn to the scripture, or you can look at it, I think. Is it up? Or will be. As I read Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 in the New King James. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Colossae. He says this, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Let's pray together. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father, we give you thanks for this day. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and help us to rejoice and be glad in it. Be with us now as we study your words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, man. Our English word encourage means with heart. With heart. That's better. To encourage people is to give them new heart. New heart. True spiritual encouragement makes people feel better. And by the way, sermon outline is on the back if you want to follow along. Yes. True spiritual encouragement makes people feel better. It brings out the best in people. Amen? It really does. Yep, when it's sincere. We all walk through tough times in life. Amen? How about it? Thankfully, God provides spiritual resources for us to emerge through those experiences, those tough times, strengthened and better equipped than ever before. Worship, what we're doing tonight, assembling together, the Bible, and prayer contribute to the transforming power of spiritual encouragement. So, let's look at this passage, verses 1 through 3. We are called to be spiritually mature and loving. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I was never accused of being mature. In fact, my mother diagnosed me when I was 14. AMESS. You know what that is? A mess. And she was right. But then, about 5 months before Margaret and I got married, that was in June of 1973. In January of 1973, I gave my heart to Christ, reading a book by Merlin Carruthers called Power in Praise. And I was teaching. I was ill. The night before I was given that book, well, what do you do when you're ill? I was in bed, so I read the book. And about a third of the way into the book, he gave an invitation to accept Christ as personal Savior. And I did. It hasn't been all roses, but it's been great because he is great. So we are called to be spiritually mature and loving. Verse 2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, knit together in what? Love. Because God's love for us can do miracles. Amen? Do you believe that? God's love for us can do miracles. It lifts us to a higher level, helping us to love others no matter how they treat us. No matter how they treat us. Some people say, I don't get mad, I get even. I like to say, I don't get mad, I don't get even. I get on my knees. Get on your knees. This is a while ago, on November 8, 1987, Irishman Gordon Wilson took his daughter Marie to a parade in Northern Ireland. As Wilson and his 20-year-old daughter stood beside a brick wall waiting for English soldiers and police to march by, a bomb planted by IRA terrorists exploded from behind, and the wall tumbled on them. The blast killed 6 people immediately and pinned Gordon and Marie under several feet of bricks. His shoulder and arm were injured. Unable to move, he felt someone take hold of his hand. It was his daughter, Marie. "Is that you, Dad?" she asked. "Yes, Marie," he answered. Gordon heard several people begin to scream. "Are you okay?" he asked Marie. "Yes," she said, but then she also began to scream. As Gordon held her hand, he repeatedly asked Marie if she was okay, and each time she said yes. Finally, she said, "Dad, I love you very much." Those were her last words. 4 hours later, Marie died from severe spinal and brain injuries. Later, a reporter interviewed her father, Gordon. After he described what had happened, the reporter asked, "How do you feel about the men who planted that bomb?" "I bear them no ill will," Gordon replied. "Bitter talk will not bring Marie back to life. I will pray tonight and every night that God will forgive them." In the months that followed, many people asked Gordon how he could forgive such a monstrous act. And this is what he said. "I was hurt. I had just lost my daughter, but I wasn't angry. Marie's last words to me," remember what she said, "Dad, I really love you. I love you very much. Her last words to me, words of love, put me on a plane, a level of love. I received God's grace to forgive through the strength of his love for me." For years after that tragedy, Gordon Wilson continued to work for peace in Northern Ireland. We're a peace church, right? Yeah. God's love can do miracles, and it can do miracles in your life and in my life. Just as Marie Wilson's last words to her father lifted him onto the plane of love, so God's love for each one of us can lift us onto a higher plane, helping us to love others no matter how they treat us. So verses 1 through 3, we are called to be spiritually mature and loving. Verses 4 through 5, Christians never stand still. We either go forward or backward. And I thought this term was a Baptist term, but it's an Old Testament term, backsliding. We either go forward or backward. We don't stay still. It's either up or down. Christians who are not making spiritual progress are targets for Satan. We must continually exercise spiritual discernment. Discernment, isn't that what we've tried to teach our children? And now, grandchildren? Spiritual discernment. Is that the best thing to do? We can do that as we grow in our knowledge of spiritual truth. So, if we're not making spiritual progress, we're targets for Satan. Spiritual Christians must provide safe fellowship for those in need. I read about a pastor who was concerned about some unsavory businesses that had opened near a local school. His protests finally led to a court case, and the defense attorney did all he could to embarrass that pastor. "Aren't you a pastor?" the lawyer asked. "And doesn't the word pastor mean shepherd?" The minister agreed. "Well, if you're a shepherd, why aren't you out there taking care of the sheep?" the lawyer demanded. "Because today I'm fighting the wolves," the pastor replied. Satan is deceptive. It talks about it there in verses 4 and 5. "Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." And that takes spiritual discernment. We must use spiritual discernment and continue to learn spiritual truth. That's why we come here. That's why you go to Bible studies or whatever it is you do to continue to be strong in Christ. Dawn Wilson gave 10 spiritual truths, but I boiled it down to 8, which she said, "I wish I knew when I was younger." Number one, and it's in your notes, I believe. No, it isn't. You might want to take notes. Number one, knowing about God is important, but actually knowing Him is crucial. A lot of people know about God, right? I know about Him. Knowing about Him, and that's where I was in college, Dennis, I knew about Him, but actually knowing Him is crucial. Number two, God may change your spiritual perspective, and that's a good thing. We need to let Him do that. Number three, your choices, boy, do I know this. Your choices always matter, and you will reap what you sow. Both good and bad. Number four, character and integrity are valuable and are more important than physical beauty. She's saying that she wished she had known this when she was younger. Number five, cultivating prayer reminds us, I love this, who, with a capital W, who's in charge. Cultivating prayer reminds us who's in charge. Number six, there's no growth without struggle. Amen? There is no growth in the Christian life without struggle, but you are never alone. Number seven, always be yourself, even if others think you're strange. Actually, her word was weird, but I don't like that word. So I substituted strange. Or as I tell our oldest granddaughter, Ella, unique. Unique. Always be yourself, even if others think you're strange, unique, or, weird. And number eight, relationships really matter. So cultivate them wisely. And if anyone wants my notes when we're done, you're welcome to have them if you want to jot those 8 points down. I thought they were excellent. 8 spiritual truths that Dawn Wilson wished she knew when she was younger. Well, one of the best loved hymns of our faith, "It Is Well With My Soul," was written by Horatio Spafford. Do you all know the story? It is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford, a businessman who lost much of his real estate holdings in the Great Chicago Fire. After the fire, he sent his wife and four daughters to Europe, hoping to join them later. But the voyage was struck by disaster, and he received this cable from his wife. I think the year was 1873. Is that right? I think so. 1873. So they had cables then. And this is what his wife said. Two words. Saved alone. Saved alone. And remember, she went with their four daughters. Spafford made arrangements to join his wife as quickly as he could. When they reached where their girls had drowned, he wrote these words of hope. I think you know them. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Those powerful words, written in the midst of such awful pain, remind us that even though we may be going through hardship, it isn't the end of God's plan for us. We who are in awe of God can say, no matter what, it is well. Will you say that with me, please? It is well. Keeping the end result in mind helps us to keep doing right. May God bless us with his peace, his comfort, and encouragement that surpasses all human understanding, so that we, like Horatio Spafford, may say with deep conviction, it is well with my soul. Amen. And now, if you're able to stand, I encourage you to sing with us, My Hope is Built. thank you so much for coming out again tonight. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, the triumph of encouragement. I believe the Bell Choir will be playing, and this has been great. I always call them revival services. Call them whatever you want to. It's something we need, and it's a shame that more churches don't do it. So I thank you for coming. Let's keep praying for each other, and not only through tomorrow night, but let's keep praying for each other. And now receive the benediction. May you go in God's grace, in his peace that passes all human understanding, and may you go with his encouragement, whether it be through a double rainbow, his holy word, a spoken kindness, whatever it may be, and may we share those kindnesses and encouragements. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.